We're going to take the Bibles today, and we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3. The teaching that I would like to share with you all is what our Father wants. This is one of the first verses I ever learned in God's Word and memorized. It says in Proverbs 3, chapter 5, verse 5, says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Almighty God will direct your path. What he wants it for us, but he wants it also for him. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. If you and I could get to that place and point in our lives, we could just trust in him with all of our heart and not lean to what we think. That kind of humility. Just like a child. A child lays in its father's arms and it's not thinking about anything bad, terrible. You know, it's just content. Whatever problem it's got, daddy, mommy will take care of. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. And everything you do in life, you put him in front of you. You acknowledge him. You ask for the direction. You ask for the help. You seek, think about him. You keep him before you always. He says he keeps us before. You know, he puts us on the palm of our hand, I think one of the prophecies, right? He's always got us on his mind. He knows every hair on our head. What does he want from us? He wants us to trust him. Trust him, acknowledge him, and he will lead us, he will guide us, he will give us what we need when we need it. It's always been, for me, that's always been very true. I don't pretend to be a better believer than anybody else, but a long time ago, God proved himself to me. He proved himself to me in the sense that when I first started learning his word, and people taught me to pray, and people taught me to abundantly share, they told me what was in the scriptures and what the scriptures had in them, the promises that were in them. And I did it without really knowing that there was a God and really understanding that he was going to answer these things. This was on my part. This was, I'll give it a try. I just give this a try. And I did it with my soul, with my heart. And God Almighty proved himself to me. I gave him a little bit, and he did a lot. And as time went by, the more I trusted God and believed what he said and did what he said. I mean, that was the thing. I did it. The more confidence that I had that the Almighty was there and that he was going to help, that he was going to do what he said in his word. Yeah, that was one of the things that my teacher brought to my attention. If this is a lie, if what's in here is a lie, then you can just throw it away. If it's words of men, it's as good as anybody else's words. But if it's really God's word, then every word will come to pass. The key was for me to find the truth that was in it, to see what was in it, and to practice it. You know, Almighty God is the sovereign Lord of the universe. That's who our Father is. He made everything. He built everything. He created everything. Nobody's given him a hard time. Nobody gets in his way. Why would he just want from us? Just trust me. Just trust me. Trust me with your whole heart. And I will acknowledge me, and I will direct your path in your life. I'll bless you. You know, in Deuteronomy, I mean, it sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? It is. In Deuteronomy chapter 6. What did God want? What does our Father want from us, his children? What does he want? It says, now these are the commandments. This is when Moses received the commandments to give to the children of Israel. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, and that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day. Thou and thy sons and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. He gave us these commandments and these things so that our days are prolonged, are blessed. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land which flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He's one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these are the words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. He wants our love with everything we got. He's given us this for our benefit, so he would bless us, and so that they could be mighty in the land that they were giving. He was giving it to them. All that he asked was that they kept his word, kept those commandments. And those commandments are not grievous. Jesus Christ said, my burden is light. God's commandments are not grievous. What is it? What's so hard about loving him? Nothing's hard about loving, right? You just love, you give, you trust God, you trust our Father, our Heavenly Father, and you love him with everything that we got. Everything. And then we learn his word and we obey it. It's quite extraordinary if you think about it. Go to Matthew chapter 22. This is all God has wanted from us. And why would he? I mean, that was always my question. What is so important about me? You know, I used to think from terms, my point of view, right? So what's so important about me? What does he get out of it? I'm not the best kid that's ever walked. That's for sure. I fall down. I make mistakes. I sin. I do the wrong thing. Every once, you know, I don't always do it right. You ever make mistakes? Yeah. And then he forgives us. He cares for us. He watches over us. And he says, trust me. He's long suffering, is gentle. In Matthew 22, I don't know why I'm losing my voice, but it's a little froggy this morning. In Matthew 22 and verse 35, you know, somebody came up to a lawyer, came up and asked Jesus Christ this basic question, but he was asking him to tempt him. In 35, it says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. We just read that. This is the first one. You do this, it takes care of a lot. Then it says, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments have hung all the law and the prophets. On these two hang everything. Both of them have to do with love. We love him and we love the one next to us. What? And if everybody did it, what a great life. People keep falling out of the meeting, coming back in the meeting. So what a great life if we all did exactly what God wanted. His care, his concern. In Mark, another man asked him a similar question, but it wasn't to tempt him. It was really to have a discussion about scripture. Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 28, it says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them, reckoning together, and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, that thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these, nothing greater. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And then Jesus saw that he answered discreetly and said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that does ask him any questions. The guy was on the right path. The most important thing was to love God. The most important thing. And then to love one another. If we focused on those two things alone in our life, your life would be so sweet, so wonderful. Not everybody would love you back. Just the way it is. There are evil people. There are people who don't want to love. but you can have a very blessed day. You can have a really good life and a very blessed day, and you'd be doing the will of your Father. That's what he wants. And all I care about is honoring him, giving glory to him, pleasing him, because he's the one that's given me everything. God Almighty has given us salvation. God Almighty has given us peace. I have peace in my life compared to what I was a long time ago. I have joy. Joy. I mean, I consider myself a spiritually rich man. I got love. I got a family. I got love. I got eternity with my family. I mean, that is gonna, what a gift. What a gift. You know, Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, in verse 11, you know, God pleaded with Israel through the prophet Isaiah, and they didn't hear a blessed thing Isaiah brought to them from God. Their ears were stopped up. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to see it. And God pours his heart out to them. He pours his heart out to them. He shows them the hope of what's coming. Actually shows it to us because they didn't listen. But he wanted them to hear. I mean, he's not happy, you know, when the evil die. Doesn't give him any pleasure. He loves. He gave his son for all mankind. In verse 11, it says, I, even I, am Yahweh, and besides me, there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. You didn't have a God. There was no other God but me. I'm the one that showed you all these things. I'm the one that's provided everything. And you are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am God. You, his people, are the witness. I'm his witness. You know, all the deliverance that I have received over my life, when I first got in the Word and the things that God had done for me personally, and he proved himself to me to make himself known to this, to a young man who was arrogant and his enemy, really, for all essential, everything I know in the scripture now, I know I was his enemy. I didn't really believe in him yet, and yet he showed me that he was real. I tried it out. I wasn't convinced that there was a God. I was not convinced that this thing was, this Bible was for real. Someone said, give it a try. And I did. And he proved himself to me. He proved himself to me. And in doing that, what he did, he took this person. You know, John McCabe, as a young man, he took me and he let me trust in him, build my trust, build my faith. He showed me more things. He did more things. He saved everybody in my family throughout all the years, all the blessings. He's taught me a bunch, and yet I am his witness. And I've been witnessing for him by teaching, by doing whatever, by telling other people around me. It's the most important thing of life. It's the most important thing. I know that he is Yahweh and there is none other. You know, I get to be that witness. They should have been. Isaiah was. They certainly should have been, but they'd, nah, I don't want to hear it. They hardened their heart completely, completely. There are people out there who won't hear. They don't have to ruin your day. So you just keep being the witness. You tell people what God has done for you. So let's go to Psalm 107, just to show this again. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, unto Yahweh, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let those of us who have been redeemed, and we have been redeemed by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us say so, who has been redeemed. Be his witness. In verse 8, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he's satisfied the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and they contended with the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress, and he brought them out of darkness in the shadow of death, and he break their bands asunder. You know, men go into bondage, nations go into bondage, individuals go into bondage because they break the word, really. They the more you break the word and don't do the things of God, the more dangerous your life becomes. And God doesn't even have to judge you, you're in trouble. You know, but many times also, I mean, God's judgment comes upon them, but if they turn, they repent, he delivers them out of their distress, out of their trouble. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works for the children of men. Look at the people of the children of Israel. How often they went into bondage, came out of bondage. How often did they turn against God and they went into captivity and then they yelled to God, save me, and he saved them. It's like this cycle that's really, you wish you didn't have to learn it that way. Look at this other place. I want you to look at Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. You know, the Father wants his people to love him. And you would think with the things that he has done for us, we would never forget to love him, but we do. Israel forgot when they came out of the land of Egypt. In Numbers 21, there's a record here in verse, we'll start in verse 4, I believe. Yep. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Hur by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the south and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. It was a tough, it was hard being in the wilderness, and it was tough. It was tough ground that they were covering, and they were discouraged. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Therefore, he was brought. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is none, no bread, neither is there any water, for our soul loatheth this light bread. God's been feeding them every day with everything that they need. But it's the same thing. It's like when I talk to Mary, you're giving me the same thing for the last 40 years. I mean, again, you know. Now, she's giving me the food, right? She's making it. She's cooking. She's doing all the work. I'm just sitting there eating, and I'm complaining. It's not a good thing to do. You know, come up with a suggestion, she says to me. Well, the people of God haven't been out there for years yet. They've only been out there a short period of time. They've just had their lives delivered. Just think about it. Bitter bondage. They cried unto the Lord. The Lord sent them Moses, the plagues, crossing of the Red Sea, the signs, the miracles, the wonders that these folks have seen. And we're talking about probably 30 days. And keep scratching, it gets worse. Sorry. And you know, we're talking 30 days, maybe 40. And they start complaining against the Lord and against Moses. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among them. It was a judgment. It was a righteous judgment, a just judgment. He sent these fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, and we have spoken against Yahweh and against thee. Pray unto Yahweh that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made the serpent of brass, and he put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of the brass, he lived. Just look at the pole with the serpent of brass on it, and you'll live. God didn't take away the snakes. So if you want to live, obey me. Look at the pole with the snake on it, with the serpent. Now, Jesus Christ talks about this in the book of John, all right? They did evil. God is righteous. He's loving. Go to the Gospel of John here, chapter 3. Salvation and deliverance are easy, simple. God is not trying to give us trick questions. He is telling us the truth, and he makes it simple for us. In John chapter 3, this is the love of the Father, and yet the people during Christ's time couldn't see it either, many of them. In fact, they killed him. It says here in verse 14, Jesus says to them, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Just like the serpent in that record that we just read in Numbers was lifted up. You want to be saved? Do you want to live? Just look at the serpent. Just look at what I've done. Look at what I want you to do here. If you want to live, you don't want to live, don't look. Your choice. So whosoever believeth in him, if we believe in him who was lifted up, they put him on the cross, they put him on the tree. Just like that serpent, if you look to him, if you believe on him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. They're condemned already. If you got bit by the snake, you're going to die. If you don't look, you're going to die. If you do, you got eternal life. When you look at the Lord, when you believe on him. Now, how simple is this? How simple is it? God Almighty made it simple. He made it simple for Israel when the Lord was here. He made it very simple, very straightforward. And yet, they still, Isaiah, the people there didn't believe. You're my witnesses that I'm the Lord. And yet they weren't. They didn't believe. Their judgment was 70 years in bondage. Coming out of Egypt, they hard-hearted again. But the ones who looked at the pole with the snake on it, the brass pole with the snake, it's the same symbol that they have for the American Medical Association. Yeah, it's, if you want to see a picture of it. So it's kind of odd that they take it out of the Bible, isn't it? And then, so you look at the pole, you're saved. You look at Christ on the cross. This is what God has done. All you have to do is look towards him. He is your salvation. He died for us. He accomplished the work for us. For us. Verse 18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. That's why they don't turn. They love their darkness. Because that's the way they want to live. Their deeds are evil. You know, God wants us to trust him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love him. To trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You want God's direction in your life? You want your life to mean something. You want your life to be whole. You want your life to, you want the things in your life, like he said to Israel. He says, I'll make you mighty and powerful. I'll cause you to live long. Just walk with me. Just trust me. Love me. Give me your heart. Doesn't he deserve it? Doesn't he deserve that? He gave us everything. He's provided us salvation. Now he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, let me just go there so I don't butcher it. But it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. You know, behold, that we should be called the sons of God. The love that God has, that we should have that. One last scripture in Galatians, one of my favorites in life. Well, there's a lot of them that are favorites of mine, but I love the book of Galatians. In chapter 4. God has showered us with blessings. He has showered us with promises. He has shattered us with his protection, his love, his care. And he asked for so little in return. Trust me. Love me. Keep me ever before you. I'll direct your path. It says in chapter 4 here in verse 4, it says, for when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You know, a personal relationship, Abba, Father. That's why we have the Spirit. He's given me the ability to have a personal relationship with him. He has given me the ability to love with the love of Christ, which is a love that I didn't even know anything about and couldn't understand because it wasn't natural. He gave me everything that I need to give to him. And then it says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. You're an heir of God through Christ. He sent his son so that we could have the adoption. You know, Jesus Christ was the only begotten, born of God. God placed his seed in Mary, and she had the baby Jesus. Yeshua. We believe the gospel. We look. We choose. We come. And he adopts us as an heir into this family. I know a lot of people think that the Spirit is the seed that we have inside of us. The Word is the seed in the Bible, not the Spirit. The Spirit is a token of the promise that's coming in the future. But one way or the other, I want you to understand this. God wants you as his child. God desires to have fellowship with his child. He wants you to want him as much as he wants you. That's what he wants. That's what our Father wants. And that's really But I pray that we give him and we have that relationship with him, Abba Father. So that's what I wanted to share with you all today. I love you all very much. Sorry for all the little glitches, and I hope everybody got to hear. Let me have a word of prayer with you. So gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. You've blessed us and showered us with blessings, my God. Thank you for that love. Thank you also, Father, for your for the truth of your word, for the greatness of this word. And help us, Father, help us to love you back and trust you with all of our heart. We need even help doing this. Everything that comes to us and comes at us in this life, Father, we know that you will guide us through each and every step and each and every situation. You've given us your word. You've given us the Spirit. And you desire this, Father. And if we would desire it the same way, how sweet life would be. So we praise you. We love you. And we are grateful and thankful. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So God bless you all.